done that. Now, if we believe the Bible and we believe that He is the Lord, then we don't have any problem. That's what your pastor was just talking about a while ago. If we're right with God and we're walking with God, we don't have any problem doing what God commands us to do. We really don't. If you're saved and you're right in your heart with the Lord, the way you respond, by the way, to God's Word tells you a lot about yourself. And we're good at picking out problems among other people, but the way you respond to the Word of God tells you a lot about yourself. And so this is a serious charge that he makes there in verse 8. Will a man rob God? Will you rob God? When you think of the levity of that, that's pretty strong. Who in the world is going to rob God? And the answer is really the answer we know that a lot of people and these people was, yes, we will rob you. We're not going to do what you told us to do. I remember going to a stewardship conference one time, and a very well-known pastor with a large church was lecturing at that stewardship conference. And he talked about reading a book, or writing a book. And in that book, he had stated that their offerings were $75,000in a previous Sunday. That's a pretty good offering, Brother Crawford, $75,000. But what he didn't know was some black Muslims, and I'm not making an ethnic statement there, I'm just talking about the group that happened to be there. They came in, they got a hold of that book and realized how much money was there, and they went in and robbed that church of their offering a few Sundays after that, probably with $70,000 or $80,000. Well, I think it would take a lot of courage to do something like that, mixed with a whole lot of stupidity. But then there are people who are Christians who name the name of Christ who actually rob God. And it's one thing to rob a church, and that happens sometimes. Churches actually get robbed. People come in and rob the church. But to rob God, what a terrible thing to do. It's a serious charge for them to do that. And Malachi is referring to the tithes and offerings. What we need to do is to faithfully return to the Lord the thing that already belongs to the Lord. It's already the Lord's anyway. And I know that's 101, that's basic, but sometimes we need to be reminded of these things, that it all belongs to the Lord. And tithing is one of the very first biblical truths, I believe, that a new convert needs to learn, to get that down in their hearts. Because there's something about a person and their money. There's just something about it. It has a spiritual connotation to it. Someone has said this, one of the most sensitive nerves in a man's body is the one that runs from his ear to his pocketbook. And brother, that is a sensitive nerve in a lot of churches. And I've never hesitated to preach on giving. I've never thought that it was anything that I should be ashamed of or be hesitant to do, because it's in the Bible, and it's there, and it's for God's people, and it's for their benefit. And I'm glad that we have that, but a lot of people are very sensitive about that. Now, if we can get the matter of possessions settled in our lives, then I can tell you that a lot of other areas will fall into place. If we will get that settled in our life, it'll fall in line. Tithing is mentioned 28 times in the Old Testament, 28 different times, and 9 times in the New Testament. And I know one of the first objections people say, well, tithing is Old Testament. Well, you're right, it is Old Testament. And so, but they reason this way, well, that's the law, and I'm not under the law, so I don't have to do what the law says. That's Old Testament. Well, I have a twofold reply to that. Number one, is the Old Testament inspired of God, and is it right? And I say, yes, it is right. Do we believe the Old Testament? And the Old Testament and the New Testament complement each other. They go together. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, and the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. But they go together. And so in Romans 15:4, the Bible says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, and this is New Testament passage, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. It's for our benefit. And then tithing was never instituted by the law, nor was it terminated by grace. Study the Bible. It was not instituted by the law. It was not terminated by grace. Now let me give you a quick summary on tithing. Very quick. Abraham commenced it. Jacob committed it. Moses codified it. Moses did that. Malachi commanded it. Jesus commended it. And Paul continued it. So it's got to be right. It's there. And it's not just part of the Old Testament law alone. So in verse 10, we go back to verse 10 in our text, and we learn that tithing has to do with a lot of different areas of our life, and the prescription is given here. Number one, it is proportionate. And he says in that verse to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. How many of them? All of the tithes. In other words, a tenth of the whole. Whatever the whole is, at least one tenth. And that's literally what the word in the original language means. Tithe means one tenth. One tenth. And so a tenth of the whole. And I say that to say this. It's not taking out the net, but it's a tenth of the whole, the gross salary that comes in. And it's a tenth of the whole. The Bible is clear about that. Now, the Jews were giving 10% of everything. They had some other tithes that they gave at different ways at different times. But in Leviticus, it tells us if they did not tithe that 10%, then they had to pay interest. Leviticus, that's the idea. You know, you might want to take that up. But Leviticus 27:30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. Leviticus verse 32, chapter 27, and concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. And there's some more in there that tells us that they had to pay a penalty or some interest if they failed or got behind on their tithing, giving 10%. Somebody was telling me about a church the other day. I think it's supposed to be a Baptist church. And they are so strict in that Baptist church that you cannot join it unless you are a regular tither. I don't think that'd work in most churches. But at any rate, that has to be something between a person and God in obeying what God says. So tithing, keep this in mind, tithing is always the starting point. It's just the beginning point, not the end of our giving. It's the minimum, not the maximum of our giving. And some of you in this church, I promise you, could give more if you would. It's not just, you say, well, I gave the tithe, but some could give more. And some that are giving now could even by faith add more. We'll talk about that later on. But to debate whether it's a law or grace is really beside the point. You can debate that all day long if you want to. But in light of the cross of Jesus Christ, as you look at the cross, engage at the cross and see what He did, I promise you, if you'll look at it right, you'll want to give more than you give. And you'll want to give all that you can. And that's what we should do. And by the way, tithing is equitable for all. It's equitable, the rich and the poor. It doesn't matter whether you make $5,000 a week or whether you make $500 a week, it is equitable because God has made it the same amount, 10% of the gross income that people have, whether it be a widow woman on a fixed income or whether it be somebody who's in the oil business who makes a lot of money or whatever it may be, it is equitable as far as the tithe is concerned. In other words, it's fair for all people. And tithing is reasonable. So, why is it reasonable? Well, one thing is you get to keep 90%. Now, if somebody give me $1,000 and said, now you can have 90% of that if you don't mind giving me 10% of it back, I'd say, you got it, buddy. Do it any day you want to, anytime you want to. I can accommodate you on that. But God gives it all to us. He says, give me 10% back. And that's something that is there, very clear. And it's all God's anyway. But if God gives me some back, thank God He gives me 90% to use for His glory. So the real question is, how much do you keep for yourself? What do you keep for yourself? tithing is the effective way that the needs of the church are met. I've never been in a church or talked to a pastor with what they brought up some needs that they had at that church. If we had this, we could do this. If we had this, we could do this. If we had this, we could really make some more expansion or whatever it is. Tithing is the effective way to meet the needs of the church, and that's the only way it can be. Thank God for members like many of you and perhaps all of you here today. I don't know. But thank God for members who are faithful, who faithfully give to the work of the Lord. And God tells us it should be 1/10 of the, and this is important, I believe, of the first fruits. Not what's left, but 1/10 of the first fruits. Listen to Proverbs 3:9. Good wisdom. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now that's not prosperity theology, that's just Bible. And I'm not promising you a Lexus and a BMW or a Rolex or whatever it may be, but I'm telling you, it is a fact of this book that if you'll put God first and give God the tithe and then go on from there, that God will bless you, and it's an exciting life to live. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. And all of us would like to have plenty, but some people hadn't learned the lesson. So, we don't want to tithe, by the way, for the wrong motive. It's not just prosperity. It's deeper than that. And that is no excuse for a worldly life. Some people say, well, I tithe, I give, and I'm very faithful in my giving, give a lot of money to the church, but I think I can go ahead and live like the devil. That's not going to substitute for that, my friend. I've had members like that in churches until they got exposed and got caught up with, that were very vocal and very upfront about their giving, want everybody to know it, giving extra sums. I remember a guy, we would have a singer in or a missionary. He would always make sure he put a $100 bill in their pocket while a lot of people were watching. And probably it would be $200 now or more. But back then, that's what it was. And this man was always perceived as one of the great givers in the church and all of that until people found out and it God exposed him because he was selling drugs in the back of his restaurant and a number of other things and going to Vegas and gambling and doing all of that type thing and pretending to be a good Christian up front. That there's no excuse for that. And that's not going to buy you any grace with God as far as that. The only thing that's going to get you the grace of God on that is repent, get right with God, and then God will take care of that and forgive you. But it's no excuse for a worldly life. Now, that has to do with that particular subject, but what about the place? What about the place? Well, he says, bring you all the tithes where? Into the storehouse. Into the storehouse. And I believe in storehouse giving. And some of you may not, but I believe it's there clearly in the Bible. The Old Testament specified a particular place. It was the temple. And they were to bring their tithes to that temple, and there was a storage place built in that temple for the storing of the tithes. And their tithes were a little bit different sometimes than ours today, but nevertheless, it represented their income, represented their wealth. And so, in the New Testament, I believe clearly it's the local New Testament church. It is a local New Testament church. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Up on the first day of the week. Now, where should you be on the first day of the week? You ought to be in church. And you are in church. Thank you for being here. You're in church. First day of the week. Now, we don't do it on the seventh day of the week. We're past that. And Jesus arose and we celebrated on the first day of the week. We're not Seventh-day Adventists. And we believe that this is the first day of the week, and God's people who name the name of Christ should be in God's house on the first day of the week. And so upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul was saying, put it there, and he included that, and I think there are other places that back it up. We don't have time to go into all of that. But here's the thing I'm saying. You don't have to pray about where to give it. Give it here. Give it here. Give it through the local New Testament church. and bring it where you are fed and where you are nurtured and where you are ministered to in this church. Now, I understand there are some other causes out there that are worthy. Sometimes you may want to give some groceries to a needy family, and you don't have to go through the church to do that, and there are other things you can do. But first and foremost, your giving should be through the local New Testament church. And I promise you, if a ministry is not connected somehow to a local New Testament church somewhere, I am very suspect of that ministry. Because usually it means that they want to control it all, and who knows how they're controlling it. I think there ought to be accountability. In the local New Testament church, it's where God is doing His work, and that involves missions in many other areas in the local New Testament church. But most of our giving should be done in our local New Testament church by our tithes and offerings. And then, what about the purpose of it? Well, he says, not only to give it there, but he says that it's to be meat, that there may be meat in mine house. That there may be meat. Now, he's not talking about a T-bone steak or chicken. I'll make you hungry now. We'll God be with us till we eat again, but we'll get out of here before too long. But that's not what he's talking about. The word simply means in the original, whatever the need is. Meat, the needs of that local New Testament church, whatever that is in the church and in missions in those other areas. And so the Old Testament tithes that they had supported the servants in that church, supported the Levites particularly, because they took care of the temple. And they needed to be taken care of. They needed to be supported. And you can read all about that in Numbers 18, 24 through 28. And he lays it out there in the Old Testament. But the local New Testament church has its needs. Pastor, do you have any needs at this church? I already heard you mention one, and there are some others. We've been involved in remodeling and so on and so forth, and we use the capital fundraising deal, and our people responded to that, and about $1.5 million. And then we took care of that within 3 years and had it all paid off because we used that particular plan, and God honored it and blessed it. And thank God for those people. They saw a need in our church. We replaced all the roofs. We replaced all the air conditioning units. We had to remodel the auditorium. The pews were about to fall down and all of that. So we did all of that. And I think God's house, it doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be way beyond our lifestyle, but I think it ought to represent God. And like these buildings, it represent the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. But the local New Testament church has needs. Now, our country is shut down right now, supposed to be. But they're still going on with a number of things. But I'm glad you have lights here today. I'm glad we're not in the dark here. You have some windows back there would let a little light in. But I'm glad we have electricity. I'm glad you have water. Some of you, between Sunday school and preaching, are going to go somewhere, and you're going to be in a bathroom, and you're going to use some of that water. It's very convenient, isn't it, to be able to do that? I've been in some situations where I wish there was some water around over in India and some of those other places. But you have water. You have insurance. Some of you would be shocked at what the insurance premium is for these buildings. Absolutely shocked. You think yours is high, you ought to know what it is for these buildings. It's unbelievable. I know. I've seen to it that it had to be paid at Worth Baptist Church. You have salaries. And thank God for Christian workers. Your pastor, Brother Wiggins, and others at work and labor here. And a workman is worthy of his hire, the Bible says. And if they're willing to go through the field, they ought to be able to get a little corn. And the Bible says we ought to support God's men. And a church should take care of the man of God, the men of God. God pity a church. Listen. One good thing that I like about Worth Baptist Church is that they've always, the deacons there, and I inherited some very good men, and they've always felt it was important to do what was right and decent and more than fair for our staff and folks who were working there. And I would almost insist on it, and they were all for it. And I thank God for that. But you have all of these things, and there are many other things. I mean, the songbooks, the literature, all kinds of things that nobody's going to take care of the church and take care of that except those who give. You might think your gift is insignificant. You say, well, my gift's so small, it's insignificant. No, it's not insignificant. When you put it all together, it adds up to a whole lot, and God can bless it and use it. I'll use an illustration here, and I'm not endorsing wine, but I'm using it as an illustration. There was a retired doctor that went to a village over in France, and everybody loved him, and so they wanted to take care of him, and he happened to like wine. And so they put a big barrel out in the middle of the center of town. And so they said, what we want you to do is just everybody, once in a while, come put a little wine in that. And then when he wants some wine, he can come get some wine out of it. So finally, one day, he went to it, and after a little period of time, and he reached down in there to get it and took a drink, and it was tasting like water. And what he found out was that so many people thought, my little wine won't be missed. My little contribution won't be missed. And they all got to thinking like that, and they never had the wine. All they wound up with was pouring a little water in there. Now, I don't know if that's a true story or not. I read it as a true story. But I can tell you that everybody giving, everybody participating, all of it adding up together, it makes a big difference. And it takes care of the needs of the church. And then there's the promise that God gives. God gives us a promise. And he says, and this is the only time I know of in the Bible where God challenges us to challenge him. Think about that. Where God says, you challenge me. I'm not much in the business of challenging God, but he says that we're to challenge him here. And he talks about that promise. Bring ye all the tithes of the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And that's his high name. That's his military name of all power, the Lord of hosts. And he said, you try me. I'm the Lord of hosts. You try me. And so the promises that he gives when he says, try me and see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. How many of you think God's able to do that? Say amen. Sure he is. He's God. My, what a God we serve. I mean, I get amazed sometimes. I told my wife yesterday, I said, you know, it's just amazing. We can just start talking to God and God hears us. It's just amazing that God's right here today, all around us, everywhere present, yet he has a throne in heaven where his glory is magnified there. What a wonderful God we serve. And sometimes our God's a little bitty God to a lot of Christians. No, we have an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God who is able to take care of everything that he's promised. And he promises here, test me and try me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven. Open the heavens to us. And I believe that obedience in the Christian life always opens the windows of heaven to us. When Christ was baptized, the windows of heaven were opened and certain things took place. You know why? Because the Father was pleased. And he said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so he opened the windows of heaven and some marvelous things happened. But when we obey in the tithe, I believe that all of heaven comes closer to us when we obey in the tithe and we try God and we see what God can do. Many churches, many churches experience the blessings of God in unusual ways when the people of God obey what God says to do. That's what permits a church to go on and upward and really fulfill the vision. Your pastor goes up in the tower of prayer, calls on God, lets God give him the vision, comes back down and articulates that to you in the leadership of this church. And that's how that vision is going to be carried out. And thank God for people who are willing to do that, and the churches are blessed as they obey. Then he promises outpoured blessings. And I believe that God can always take care of that. There was a man in Miami, Florida. His pastor told him, Brother Crawford, I hope nobody takes me up on this, but he told him that if you'll give, God will bless you. And the guy turned around and felt like he wasn't being blessed enough, and so he sued the church and sued the pastor. It actually really happened, and because he didn't think he had the right response. And the man maintained he had not been blessed. Now, let me ask this question. Could any Christian truly defend that proposition? I don't think so. If you're saved, you've been blessed. If you're going to heaven, you're blessed. If you have the security of the believer, you're blessed. If you have a Bible, you're blessed. If you have the Holy Spirit, you are blessed in many other things. The guy was a nut. That's what he was. But he just didn't. There's no way yet that would stand up in court to think that God had not blessed. And there is a definite relationship between tithing and the blessings of God financially and materially in your life. Tithing may not make you wealthy. But let me tell you, that wealth is not always the indication of God's blessings. It can be, but it's not always the indication of God's blessings. Think about the blessings you have today. Just think about the blessings you have today. Somebody was asking us earlier how we're doing. My wife's had that flu, and some of you have had it. And I was thinking this morning, I think I might, my throat's getting scratchy. I might be getting down with it. I hope you still go ahead and shake hands with me. But at any rate, when we think about that, people say, well, how are you doing? I say, well, for the shape I'm in, I'm not doing bad. And the older I get, the more that rings true in my life. For the condition I'm in, I'm 73 years of age, and I'm telling you, it makes a difference. I don't care what anybody says. They say you're as old as you think. No, don't feed that to my brain. Now, you can be more positive about it, and you can do a whole lot, but I'm telling you, I'm older than I might want to think I am. It's just a fact. But think about your physical health. If you have it today, thank God for it, and the strength that you have, a roof over your head, plenty to eat. And as I observed you as I came in, I observed that most of you are having plenty to eat, just like me. I'm still trying to get over Christmas. How about you? Anybody trying to get over eating too much at Christmas? One, two honest people. The rest of you are dealing with it. But at any rate, we have that. Listen, be thankful. Amen? Listen, God has blessed us and God is blessing you. There are a lot of other things. We could go down a whole litany and list of those things. And then tithing places material things in their proper place. Tithing places material things in their proper place. And so what we need to do is possess our possessions, but listen, don't ever let your possessions possess you. I have seen church members that God bless because they were faithful to give and put Him first, and then once they arrived at that certain level, they began to let their possessions possess them. Matthew 6:33, you're familiar with it, but seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. And then tithing helps you manage the rest of your money. I believe that. You see, a good steward can handle the rest of their money better. If you learn to put God first financially and be a tither, and you give your tithe, I will promise you that you will know better how to use the 90% that is left. And the 9/10 always goes further than if you had not tithed. It's just part of the Word of God. So God is saying to us, put me to the test. And here's what a lot of people say, well, I'm just not able to do it. God didn't say put yourself to the test. He didn't say prove yourself. I look in the mirror and I'm not able to do it. That's not what He said, prove yourself. He said prove me. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. He says, you look at me, don't look at your condition, your situation. You look at me. In Genesis 14, Abraham was met by two kings. We don't have time to read it, but he was met by two kings. One was the king of Salem, and the other was the king of Sodom. It's all right there in Genesis 14. And so the king of Salem came with this attitude in verse 18. He came with the attitude of giving. And that was bread and wine. Does that remind you of anything? It reminds me of the cross and the Lord and communion and the Lord's Supper. And then the king of Sodom came in verse 21 in that chapter saying, give to me. I want some of this material stuff that's left. Give to me. The king of Sodom, give to me. But the other king of Salem came, I'm giving to you. And I believe that that reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you get your paycheck, you're going to be met by two kings. Every time, the king of Sodom and the king of Salem. So which one are you going to do? I think I'd go with the king of Salem, which is the type of Christ, which the bread and wine symbolizes his broken body and his shed blood in his sacrificial death. And the king of Sodom is typically a type of the world, a type of materialism, and what you have as a temporary enjoyment, and that becomes more important to you than laying up treasures in heaven. The question is this: which king will you listen to? Which king are you listening to? And are you listening to the Lord, the king of Salem or the king of Sodom? And I can tell you, my dear friend, and we'll talk later in the message about faith, but I want to tell you that that's the beginning place. And I will never have to apologize to anybody for saying, if you'll put God first and prove Him, He will prove Himself, and He'll show you that He really is God. He really is alive. He really does keep His word. He really does have power. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for Your word, and thank you for what You've taught us so clearly in the Old and New Testament. We know that Jesus endorsed tithing when He said, these things ought you to have done. He did not take away tithing. He endorsed it. And I pray You would help these folks. Perhaps all of these people are tithing now. Probably in a crowd this size, some have struggled with it and may be struggling with it. I pray that You would convince them through the power of the Holy Spirit and Your word that this is biblical, it is right, and that they would get in line and not lie about it, and they would be people who would not rob from You, because that's a serious thing. And help us, Lord, to put You first in these areas. Bless this church and these good members who are faithful to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.